Did the St. Paul Public School District misuse federal COVID funding to the tunes of tens of thousands of dollars? Two former employees say so. They filed a lawsuit. And reporting on this story, longtime investigative reporter for KSTP, Jay Coles, who joins us live now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jay, known your work for many years. This is the first chance I've ever gotten to speak with you, so welcome to the show. Thank you so much for the time. And tell us about this story that you've uncovered here and what these employees claim that the St. Paul Public School District did with COVID money.
Yeah, no, nice talking to you, too. Thanks for having me on. And I told Dave, I listen to you guys all the time, so I already feel like I know you. You know how that goes, right?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So I apologize ahead of time if I'm disappointing to you in any way.
No, not at all. Well, you know, and right out the outset, you know, I've got to state, you know, again, these are allegations in a lawsuit,
yep.
Serious allegations. None of it been proven true. St. Paul schools haven't responded. But with that said, essentially, Marie Schruel was the chief financial officer for the school district for 24 years. She's got a clean personnel file, which tells you she was very trusted and very credible, which gives her a lot of credibility with what she's saying in this lawsuit, because she served under many superintendents. And what she's claiming, along with a colleague of hers who was a business analyst, is that when the influx of $200 million, St. Paul Schools got $200 million of the COVID money, I think it was, if not the largest to an individual school district in the state, if not the largest, certainly one of the top two or three. So
sure.
They got $200 million. And there were strict, strict guidelines on how you could spend that $200 million. Specifically, as we would all guess, for instructional purposes, educational purposes. In other words, you can't go build a new school building or fix an old school building with it.
Right.
You can't have parties. It was very strict.
Set up for distance learning, all the things that we had to go through during that time.
Yes, for instructional purposes. So what Marie and her colleague, Curtis Mahaney, are alleging in this lawsuit is that tens of millions, don't have an exact dollar amount, because they would have to, when they do the lawsuit now, they go through a process called discovery so they can get the documents. She didn't take these documents with her. What she's claiming is, for example, they had a $43 million deficit. And she's claiming then Superintendent Dr. Joe Gothard, it's in the lawsuit, the quote was, get creative with your accounting, and wanted her and her, you know, fiscal team to use some of that COVID money to help cover a $43 million budget deficit. According to Marie, that violates state and federal law, administrative law, on how you can spend this money. And when she would repeatedly try to tell him you can't do this, he rebuffed her, went to the school board didn't act on it, and she claims in the lawsuit, again, a direct quote from Dr. Gothard in the lawsuit is, we're getting all this money, we need to spend it as quickly as we can. Well, that's really not the spirit of what the COVID money was for, and it certainly is not for covering budget shortfalls. And then she goes on to say in the lawsuit further that employee bonuses, employee gifts, employee parties were all being thrown at the directive of Dr. Gothard with COVID money. And she gave one example of an invite only to certain school district employees, so it wasn't open to every employee, just a certain number by invite only. And just for the food trucks alone, just that portion of the party was $10,000, and she claims it was COVID money. So when you add all of it up, you're talking about potentially tens of millions of dollars that was earmarked specifically for COVID money, for instructional purposes with COVID money. And Marie and Curtis are claiming that they created this, what they call in the lawsuit, a budgetary shell game where they were using that money for all these other purposes outside of instruction to the students. And she went also one step further, Adam, to say, also, they have federal funding for something called nutrition services. That is food.
Right.
That they were also dipping into the nutrition services food to help cover the budget deficit. Again, if the federal government says, here's X number of dollars for food, it's got to go to food. So, again, none of this has been proven to be true allegations, but very serious allegations. And keep in mind, from a chief financial officer who was there for 24 years, and she told me in the interview, budget problems and fiscal problems and federal funding problems are commonplace, right? It's very complicated.
Yep.
By that, I mean problems, you know, they can get mixed up with what money they can spend where. But she said whenever she uncovers that as the chief financial officer, when she went to previous superintendents, she said each of the previous superintendents would say to her, okay, we got to fix that. If we can't use that money for that, we got to fix it.
Yeah.
She said what made this different was when she went to Dr. Gothard, she was rebuffed. She was told to spend the money as fast as she can. And that's when she went to the school board and publicly stated this was a problem. And shortly thereafter, in September of 2022, she and Curtis both were fired, and they were not fired for cause. In other words, they weren't told they had done something wrong. They were told they were being laid off for budgetary reasons.
Jay, did that?
She believes it was retaliation.
Did the school board at the time, when they brought it to the school board, did the school board, aside from, you know, Dr. Gothard, did the school board take any action on this, or was there any? Did the federal government, were they notified, or the state government, to investigate any of this?
She claims in the lawsuit that the school board did not take any action. As far as the Department of Education goes, she claims the Minnesota Department. So the federal money comes into the state.
Yep.
And then it's the state's responsibility to allocate it and oversee it. So in this case, it wouldn't be the federal government necessarily. It would be the Minnesota Department of Education. She claims in the lawsuit that MDE did warn St. Paul schools about some of the stuff they were doing. But again, she claims that the district ignored that. They simply ignored it. In one instance, she says, in the lawsuit, she says they were $179 million over budget for their facilities budget, their capital budget, in other words, buildings, building maintenance, that kind of money, not general fund money. And when it was $179 million over, they started using money from other departments to cover that budget shortfall in facilities. And she says the director of facilities at the time, a guy by the name of Thomas Parent, told her, and it's a quote in the lawsuit, look, Marie, it's just what I consider a $170 million learning curve. Well, that $179 million deficit is...
I'll take that.
You want to treat it like a learning curve.
Right.
That's quite a learning curve. So she tried. She and her attorney told me they tried for the past 10 months to negotiate with the district about a resolution here. And she said they got rebuffed again, and that's when she decided to file a lawsuit and go public, because she felt the taxpayers of St. Paul, who pay tens of millions of dollars every year into the school budget, deserve the right to at least know what she knew. And that's kind of where it sits right now.
We're talking to Jay Coles from a KSTP investigative reporter. And Jay, you're very careful to say that, again, that these are their allegations, and I appreciate that. Dr. Gothard has moved on to a school district in Wisconsin. I spoke to Dr. Gothard on various topics over the years, and I know that he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way at the St. Paul School District. I guess my question to you would be, okay, these are two employees who lost their job. Why should I believe them if this sounds like sour grapes from two employees who don't work there anymore? Why didn't they do more to uncover?
You know, and that's always the question when a lawsuit like this is, when a whistleblower files a lawsuit, first question is, why did they wait till now? Are they just disgruntled? Are they only looking for money? You know, I can't really speak to their motivations other than what they tell me, right? Mm-hmm. I have no way of proving otherwise. I can say this about Marie. When you consider she was there for 24 years with good job reviews in each of those 24 years, working for multiple superintendents, it gives her, in my mind, a certain level of credibility that she should be heard and her argument should be taken seriously because of her longevity in that school district. When you are there for 25 years, almost a quarter century, as a chief financial officer, you had to be doing something right.
Yep.
That's just kind of how I look at it. And she, when I talked to her and interviewed her yesterday, if you notice in the interview, she was very straightforward. She wasn't full of hyperbole. She didn't really attack anyone. She just, as an accountant or a chief financial officer, as you would expect, Adam, she just laid it out very straightforward for me and just said, it was wrong. We have a code of ethics as financial officers. And if they weren't going to fix this, I had no other option than to let the public know. To that end, I believe her, to that end.
You know this as well as anybody, that when lawsuits are filed, people have to, you know, circle the wagons and keep quiet about things, at least when talking to the media. What have your attempts been to reach Dr. Gothard or any of the current officials at the St. Paul School District? What have you heard from them? Can we expect them to respond to this anytime soon?
I don't think so anytime soon, only based on past experience, and not just with St. Paul Public Schools, Adam. Well, usually when there's a lawsuit against a government entity like a school district, or, you know, take your pick of any government entity, or even a private, you know, company for that matter, generally speaking, when litigation happens, when a lawsuit is filed, they generally don't comment until it gets to, if it gets as far as the courtroom, right? They usually don't comment on it as a policy until they have to comment on it publicly if it goes to court, if it gets all the way to court. My guess is it might be settled before then. They usually are. Not always, but they usually are. Then if it gets settled, Adam, the tricky thing about Minnesota data laws is once it's settled, only the dollar amount really becomes public. The rest of it kind of stays private at that point. So in the short term, I would say you're probably not going to hear much from them. I asked them for an interview, and they said their policy is when there's litigation, threat of litigation, an open case, our policy is we don't comment. I reached out to Dr. Gothard multiple times yesterday in Madison, where he's a school superintendent, and I didn't hear back from him. So right now, it's now you sit and wait and see what happens with the lawsuit.
So even if it, even if it gets settled, that we may never know the truth on where that money was spent and if it was spent for certain things that were claimed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we would never know. Yeah. I guess you could say you wouldn't know if her allegations of how it was spent were true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's generally how it goes. Doesn't mean it's going to go that way this time.
Right.
But usually that's how it happens. Yeah. So we'll just have to see, I guess.
Interesting stuff. We'll be following it, Jay. Last question for you.
Yeah.
Our mutual friend Brad Lane came in to say hello, and he was commenting on he's a fan of yours. But hard question. You're a reporter. You have to tell the truth here. Dave Harrigan and I were discussing, have you ever, and not just you, we're talking about in general, have you ever been on the toilet long enough that your legs have lost feeling?
Yeah, just this morning.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Jay.
Hey, before, you know, I'm 64 now. They fall asleep everywhere.
That's right.
But is Susie still? Say hey to Brad. I love Brad. Brad gave me a job over at AM 1500. Yep. He actually let me on the air over there. But is Susie still around there? I just heard her a minute ago.
She'll be back on at 2 o'clock.
Oh, so say hi to Susie, because we've known each other for 25 years. I wanted to see if she remembered being at my house for the Packers-Broncos Super Bowl party.
Ooh.
She came to my house with her husband at the time and Randy Meyer from Channel 9. Yeah, Susie's good stuff, so say hi to her.
She's a piece of work, that's for sure. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah.
Appreciate the time, man. Thanks. We'll talk again.
All right, take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Jay Coles from KSTP, 122 on CCO. Appreciative of Jay Coles joining us. And obviously COVID money, we're a little sensitive to COVID money being misspent in these parts.
Something else happened?
I think we can think of one case. But here's the thing about it, and again, which is that so much money was poured in to so many different aspects of our life, including public education. It was like, I know this term gets used a lot, but literally it was like a fire hose of money saying, okay, spend this money, do what we have to do to keep America functioning during a global pandemic. And the fact that the fact that any of it got misused should shock nobody. But again, there are different levels of misuse, especially if you are, and I'm not, again, these are allegations in this lawsuit that the St. Paul Public School District misused some of these COVID dollars. Now, if you are a school district constantly struggling with to make budget to educate kids with perceived more limited resources, and this is no way a justification of you, but okay, spending it on parties for teachers and things like that, that's one thing.
$10,000 but, for food trucks?
Right, for food trucks, absolutely.
That's like two sandwiches, by the way, food trucks. Let's bring down the prices there, right. Food trucks.
But saying that, okay, like we have budget shortfalls, this money, can we somehow make this money? Can we put it to use, in the goal that we're charged with, and that is educating our kids?
How far can you stretch the definition?
Correct. And are there many school districts out there that did the same thing, that's saying, boy, is there a way we can, not like, scheming, ooh, I want to pocket this money, not feeding our future, like, hey, let's buy a bunch of trips and say we're feeding kids when we're not. But, boy, like, oh, man, we've been so, we've needed these various things for so many years, and now
building
here's
improvements,
this
here's classroom improvements,
influx of cash.
Yeah,
is there some way, again, not flat out illegal ways, but can we make this work somehow? It wouldn't shock me if there is a list, to borrow a phrase from Major Garrett, as thick as a rural Minnesota phone book, of school districts that did the same thing to said, boy, maybe we can use this money in different ways to educate kids, not to line our pockets, but to help our kids, give them the tools they need, and our teachers the tools they need to do their jobs effectively.
Yeah, and it certainly sounds, in this particular case, looking at the allegations, a lot of them pointing to things that in no way could be justified, that were,
right,
like the food trucks.
Exactly.
About the parties.
Yep.
But... yeah, I'm with you in that there's probably a whole pile of districts that said, well, does this meet the definition?
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure, but we think it's close enough.
We can see it from there, yeah.
So let's go ahead and do this, because this is a project that's been on our radar for quite a while, or just something that, is an emergency right now that needs to get done. And look, we just happen to have all this free federal money in the bank account. And, I'm sure the federal government went into this knowing, well, yes, there's going to be fraud,
right?
Just like with every federal program when they're throwing money out, but it certainly doesn't make it right.
No, of course not.
It certainly doesn't mean that they don't go after it.
Mm-hmm.
But, to the levels that we've seen now with, any of these, if these allegations are true, if certainly feeding our future, what we've seen there, this is,
That one, that's totally different, because that almost like it was set up to say, hey, we can really take advantage of all this free money.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're saying you're feeding kids and you're not feeding kids, that's
a pretty direct line in the sand right
there. Disgusting behavior.
Yeah.
131, some troubling news for Target. Target, for many years, we thought could do no wrong. Well, not that they're struggling, but they have missed the mark again on projections of how people use their store and how frequently and how much money they're going to spend. My theory is this. Maybe we're just sick of Target. We'll get into that after traffic and weather coming up next. Downtown. Is this Julie Andrews?
Petula Clark.
Oh, Petula Clark. Also older than Joe Biden.
I think she's in her early 90s.
Wow.
It was 91, if I remember right.
She's still performing?
She is right now. Can't you hear it?
Yeah. Marvelous. So I feel like I may be the barometer of the common customer.
Think awfully highly of yourself.
I do think highly of myself. But here's the thing. I look at Target, and you see the news today, the Target, again, missing its mark on Wall Street projections. Not as many people shopping at Target, or at least
not as many people, you know, actually people still going to Target, but just not buying as much.
Sounds like the foot traffic was good.
Yes. So
but just not filling the carts as much.
Yeah. Stock plunged 21%.
Not good.
Shoppers jump ship to Walmart. And I really, I'm dubious about that. Now, do I know more than Wall Street? Well, for this segment, yes. Really, are they going to Walmart?
If you're leaving Target for Walmart, shame on you.
Shame on you. Team Blue or Team Red? Team Red all the way.
Do better, Minnesota.
Do better. And they're a local company. And stop with the, oh, you know, we've got to really. No, we, of course, we want Target to work. It's one of our pillars of Minneapolis or of Minnesota business.
You think of Minnesota companies.
You think Target.
Target, Best Buy, you know, top of the list.
But maybe we're just getting sick of Target. That's my theory on it. I think that, and we've got a texter that nails it. And this is why I am suggesting that, yes, I'm the barometer of the common customer, is that I've become a Costco guy, that Costco has replaced the Target run. The Costco run has replaced the Target run. I think it's fairly simple that is the case. Because, you're probably saying, well, what do you mean? I mean, you go to Costco, people think of Costco, you're thinking you're buying in bulk, you're buying, you know,
sure,
500 packages of fruit snacks for Halloween that I did that we never even used. thank you for that, by the way. But the reason I used to go to Target, and it used to be a joke when I was on with Chad, he'd say, how many times have you gone to Target today? Because I used to go like twice a week. A lot of times I wouldn't even buy anything. It's just, I'm going to Target, just
wander around.
Yeah. And so as the texter nails it, it's the thrill of the hunt. You go in there and you don't know what you need until you go to Target. And you know, I need that. But I think Costco has replaced Target in that fact for me and I think many people. Where you go to Costco now and it's the same experience. And it boils down to clothing too. Now you may look at me and like, boy, that you must shop at the finest clothiers in the state of Minnesota. Untrue, Dave. I actually look for cheap deals on clothing. So I used to go to Target and say, you know, where's the clearance rack? Hey, here's a T-shirt for $5. Now I can do that at Costco, where they've got so many different clothing varieties and that are cheap that is kind of replaced the hunting aspect that I used to go to Target for.
See, I was at Target yesterday specifically to buy some shampoo and conditioner. Kids are using a lot of it these days.
Mm-hmm.
Like to just squirt it out on the bench in the shower and then get what they need. It's not very effective. I still like a good Target run. It's very convenient to where I live. That helps. But you know, we're Sam's Club members because it's just more convenient.
Right.
And they are right across the street from each other in Woodbury.
Yep.
I went to both yesterday
mm-hmm.
because there were certain items I wanted at Sam's Club, certain items I wanted at Target. Are there things you still go to Target for specifically?
I don't think so, and that's a big reason why. It's like, what can you only get at Target now that you couldn't get like anywhere else? And that was part of their, I think, part of their bet was that, you know, we've got Target products, Target exclusive products that people will still come to Target for.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, they certainly obviously have their in-home brands, which is, you know, good for them. I think they still do well. But I will say I still go to Target frequently, but I do love Amazon.
That's a big reason, too, obviously. But that wouldn't, I mean, still people are still going to Walmart.
Yeah.
Costco stock is on fire. So that's not, I still think that people want that experience of going out and not necessarily buying anything, but going and let me get out of the house for a little while and go browse the aisles at Target. Costco, in this case, I still think that is a thing. So that wouldn't exactly answer for all of that because I think the other stores would suffer just as much.
Sure.
Unless Walmart is doing online shopping better than Target is doing online shopping.
The experience isn't better, I can tell you that much, at least as far
it
as...
It never will be.
What Target did during the pandemic as far as, you know, the drive-up ordering, that was unbelievable. The process was so much easier there than Walmart or any other comparable store of being able to purchase things on the app. Boom, it's in the trunk of your car before you've almost parked.
Yep.
You know, and I think they're still doing that very well. I will say I haven't used it in probably about 2 years.
Yeah.
Because there is, you know, if I'm going out, I guess there's still the feeling of, well, I just kind of want to walk in and, like you said, browse the aisles, see what's what, you know, go mm-hmm. just see what I might find. Thrill of the hunt, as you say.
651-461-9226. What do you believe is the reason that Target isn't doing as well as these other retailers? Maybe we're just sick of it. Sick of making the Target runs, and there's other places to go now. Adam, you're a major newscaster in Minneapolis appealing to conservatives and liberals. How in the world can you ask a question about maybe we are sick of Target? They employ thousands and thousands of people in Minnesota and nationwide, and you're going to throw a question out that maybe we're sick of Target? Are you kidding me, man? How about waking up and smelling the coffee? One, I'm not a newscaster. I used to be. Now I'm a talk show host. I give opinions, and my opinion is this, that maybe we're just sick of Target. And no, that doesn't mean I want Target to go away. And by the way, my opinion on Target, maybe why they're suffering, and I say suffering in quotations because I think Target will still do all right. They got a pretty good CEO over there who, you know, Brian Cornell, who seems to make things happen even in dire circumstances, and I don't doubt that he can do the same thing again. I don't think Target's going away. I don't think my opinion on Target is going to mean that, boy, they're really taking a hit. Dwayne has called in. Dwayne, you're on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line, specifically the talk line. Your theory on why Target is struggling?
Well, I think you're partly right on your situation on what you think, but our experience as a family here about 5 or 6 years ago, Target started going away from clothes for real people, like people that need extra large or large sizes. They've dropped everything down. Even in the ladies department, they're down to the point where anybody that's out of what they call normal can't find anything there.
At Target, you mean?
Running away at Target, yeah. Huh. They're running away part of their clientele. And over the years, their pricing has gone higher than places where you can get the stuff you're looking for, you know, as far as cost is concerned. So, like you say,
interesting.
Costco, I don't shop Walmart very much. There's not one real close to me.
Yeah.
But there's places to, I think Target has better service than some of the other stores.
Right.
But it gets to the point where service isn't necessarily feeding the rest of the family.
Right. Either. Exactly, and at a place like a retailer, like I mean, yes, it's nice to have customer service, but it's not like you're going to a fancy restaurant where you expect top quality service. Dwayne, interesting theory. Thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you.
Target's customer service has diminished. This, according to one texter, I think customer service in a lot of places has diminished, and I think that has more to do with like the job market and the fact that you really can't get rid of a lot of people who otherwise you might be able to get rid of because you can't replace them. Another texter, 651-461-9226. Adam, my problem is paying someone to shop in their store like Costco, Sam's Club. I like Target. I get that, too. You don't have to buy a membership to go to Target. But, boy, it's like once you get that membership card and you're, especially for the other perks like gas, too.
The gas savings.
The gas alone, right?
Mm-hmm. That's enough.
And that's another aspect. Okay, I'm going to fill up at Costco. Hey, there's the store right there. And if it's not, you know, Saturday or Sunday when it's like the seventh circle of hell, I'll give it a shot.
It often is there at Target, too, that that Saturday crowd is not light. But the nice thing is, Costco and Sam's Club, you can leave and pick up an 8-pound hot dog on the way out, too, for $1.20.
Yeah, that's right. Clothing off price now, TJ Maxx or Marshalls. Yeah, but again, the beauty of a place like Costco or Target still is that they still have pretty much the same quality clothing. And oh, by the way, there's an electronics department, there's a book department, there's home goods you need for your house, and everything else all under one roof. Target always out of stock on everyday consumables, no execution. Walmart and Costco are winners. Maybe that's it, just it, because again, like I think I went to Target maybe 2 weeks ago, but it's maybe once a month now that I go to Target. And again, it used to be quite often. 651-461-9226. We'll take your theories as to why Target isn't doing so hot. If you've got one that maybe I'm not thinking of, by all means. Or if you think I'm crazy that, no, we're not sick at Target. 651-461-9226. More after this. Chad, off today. We may check in with Chad before the show is over. Is he recouping from his colonoscopy? I'm talking about Target because Target suffers a hit on Wall Street, down 21% based on missed marks as far as shoppers and projections and why that might be, while other retailers seem to be doing okay. In my theory, just one guy. But is that maybe we're just kind of sick of Target, that the Target runs have become other place runs at other places, including somebody points out Sierra. If you've never been to Sierra, if you like the outdoors or any workout or whatever it is,
just
Sierra
casual clothing
is the place to go, man. Sierra is another place where you can go aimlessly, not intending to one specific item, and you can come out of there with quite a bit of good stuff.
Yeah, great prices.
Joe is called in. Joe, you're up. Why do you think Target is suffering while others are not?
Well, a prime example is my wife. So, you know, when they started doing this online order and you go pick it up with your car, they bring it out to you, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Right? She does it all the time. She never goes into Target. She buys stuff at Target. But here's the thing. How many times you went into a Target to get three things, you walk out with a cartload.
Yep.
Oh, I need that. Oh, I need that. See what I'm saying? And that, like my wife, doesn't do that anymore. I personally love it because I'm not, you know, she's not dragging home all this crap that we don't need.
Right.
But that's what I think is killing Target, is they are too good with that curbside stuff.
Oh.
And they don't have the people going in the store buying all the crap that you really don't need.
Right.
That people did. You know what I'm saying? Because, and their groceries are terrible. You got Walmart for groceries. Everybody knows Walmart's a dump. It is.
Yes.
It drives, you know. Trying to check out's insane, but their prices are way cheaper.
Yeah.
So, you know, you man up, you go into Walmart, you fight the mob, and it drives you nuts, and you get your cheap deal. But I think that's what's killing Target, is they're too good at what they got great at. And I think that's hurting them a lot.
But great points, as always, Joe. Yeah, thank you for the call, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might be right that, like, they counted on they count on the people that, okay, I need two things, I'm going to Target, but the Target run always turns into $50 or $100.
It's true.
And if you're ordering specifically what you need online, you're not going in, you're not walking out with anything you used to have.
You don't pass the knickknacks online.
That's right.
He's also right about Walmart.
He is.
What a dump.
But I think their groceries are better. Like, Target's groceries are, meh.
What? I mean, it's the same box of Cheerios. What do you mean by their groceries?
Like produce and stuff. I think so. I think Walmart might have the advantage.
I think you've got a bad Target in your town.
Target too much woke. That hurt them a little bit, but we're past that now.
I think so.
I don't think that's still.
Are we past that now?
Of course we're not.
I think
past
there's
that.
Still plenty that
and
probably
are there plenty
still
of people
hold
that
a grudge.
Still will not refuse to go to Target. I suppose you're right, but I don't think that is a major factor in driving these latest numbers. There used to be a place called Kmart that used to do well. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, there was a hometown for Kmart too, and I'm sure they lamented the fact that Kmart was dying away. Now, do I think Target is the next Kmart? No, I do not. I think that they've still got very smart people there that will probably figure this out and determine, okay, what does the future look like? How can we best take advantage of that? Will Targets look different in the future? Of course. But I think they're smart enough to know that there's still a place for Target.
When I was growing up, we called Kmart Came Apart.
Yes, right. Came Apart.
I mean,
the Blue Light Special.
One of the great disparaging nicknames.
Texter Joe is right on. I parked to wait for my wife at Target, and it's shocking to watch how much business their carryout does. How about that, too, by the way? And if you're waiting for your wife, you're parked illegally. You can pull up on the sidewalk by those huge red balls, and until somebody tells you to move, I'm not going into the end of the parking lot and then waiting, looking, trying to examine when she's going to be out and try to time
it. Just circle the lot.
Just
keep
circling the lot.
Sorry, hon. I need to fill up now.
Target grocery prices are higher. Their product selection is limited. The caller was correct. When you do curbside pickup, you don't go in. You don't come out with twice as many things as you intended on buying. All right, we will check in with the man, the myth, the legend, Chad Hartman, who underwent a colonoscopy today. We'll see what the prognosis is, how it all went for him. I know you're dying to know. I am too. It is 1:57, by the way. That is your Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to invest in GAF solar roofing. Receive free installation labor.